Violet Brown driving.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Tatum throws the shoulder to him. Step back off the wrong foot. Swish. What a night for Jason Tatum. This is the All-Star.
Dirk off one foot there. Reminiscent of Dirk.
32 for Tatum.
Boy, you're so right, B-Rob. Brian Robb producing today. He was on the call last night with Grandy. He did look like Dirk on that.
Oh, great analysis by that analyst. It's a great point. Dirk-esque. He's added that to his game. We've seen more of it post-All-Star break.
All right, so it is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Matt McCarthy sitting in for Jim Murray today. Chris Gasper alongside Brian Robb from Mass Live and the Celtics broadcast. You'll be on the call again tonight, B-Rob. Is that right? Is that my understanding?
It's correct. One last night.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to your analysis tonight as the Celtics take on the Oklahoma City Thunder, which is, by the way, the ultimate trap game. They play, you know, what I thought, you know, might have been their best win of the season last night. They're going to go to Oklahoma City tonight against a team that, I mean, you know, that's a team in shambles. So this is the perfect example of the Celtics probably reverting to who they truly are this year. But I won't get that negative, Chris. I did think last night was their best win of the year. I mean, against a really good Milwaukee team on the road, not that that really matters as much as it did, you know, in the before times, the pre-COVID world, but they played with an energy last night. They played like a cohesive unit. They played loose. It was really the antithesis of the Celtics experience this year. Dare I say, Chris, it was even enjoyable.
Oh, I found them to be enjoyable. You know, I mean, they've been frustrating, obviously, at times for all of us, but I found them generally to be enjoyable to watch most of the year, and I've had a level of emotional investment in this team that maybe I haven't had the last couple of years, just because you feel like the future should be so bright with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. But you know what I picked up on? What Danny Ainge said about the trade deadline, that he had restored some energy and hope to the team. And even though you know, Fournier wasn't in uniform, he wasn't out there, they just seem to have this sort of bounce in their step of, okay, Danny believes in us. Danny went and got us some help. Now this is our team. We can move forward. And I thought you saw that. Now, look, this to me was the ultimate sort of Celtics front-running game, and I don't mean that in a negative way. What I mean is this is a team that draws direct energy from when their three-point shots are falling, and they were falling. After three quarters, they were shooting 50% from three. And so what I want to see is, can they generate that energy on a night when they're not 18 for 36 from three after three quarters?
Like, and they will be tonight after traveling, guarantee you, 100%.
And Marcus Smart doesn't have all his threes going in. He's not shooting 7 of 10, and they don't finish 22 of 47 from three. Can they bring that energy on a night when the threes aren't falling and you have to sort of generate it a different way? But I do think you saw immediate dividends, McCarthy, of the Fournier trade without him being out there, which was that the team looked reinvigorated.
So that was kind of my question. You know, is last night an aberration? Is it just a night where they, you know, they looked like, you know, an energized team, a team that was playing, you know, loose, a team that was playing as a unit, which frankly we haven't seen a lot of this year. I mean, there are so many times where they come out flat. They're going through the motions. They're sleepwalking. Last night was the exact opposite. I mean, it was noticeable. It was palpable from, I mean, the opening tip. You're like, wow, they look like a different team tonight. So is that an aberration? Is it them just, you know, everything clicked one night and they figured it out? Or do they feel that, all right, you know, Danny believes in us a little bit. We, you know, shook things up a little bit. You know, some guys left here and, you know, maybe that's okay. I don't know. You know, or maybe, you know, it was a message that, you know, we're going to ship some guys out. You know, whatever it was, you really do think that it was in some ways the byproduct of the activity at the trading deadline.
I really do. Now, look, part of it also was, I thought they picked up sort of where they left off when they came back, or almost came back from 25 down against Milwaukee on Wednesday. But
Brad Stevens said that post game last night that he felt like they played, you know, a good two quarters there at the end of that game.
Did.
And they felt like they carried it over.
Yeah. And I think that was part of it too. But when you listen to Danny talk about the coach being, you know, he sensed discouragement from the team and he sensed discouragement, you know, he mentioned Brad's name sort of with that discouragement. I think that maybe there was a freedom for those guys last night. It's like, okay, because I think they were sort of banging their heads against the wall saying, whatever this is, it's not good enough and it's not working. What are they with Fournier? I don't know. I have no idea. But at least they know that here comes a better player. Here comes legitimate help. Here's a little bit of a fresh start. And I think they just sort of had to wipe the slate clean a little bit from a roster standpoint. And now they can do that. And now let's see what they can do. You know, I thought Tatum was really good last night.
He was locked in.
He was locked in. And it wasn't just, again, the threes were falling for him, but he was attacking. And this is something Brad had talked about. I believe, you know, it was either pre or post. I don't remember. But basically this idea of he doesn't always have to sort of back it out and reset and do it that way to take advantage of his matchup. He can take advantage of it off a catch and shoot. He can go a little faster. He can change up his pace. And I thought Tatum did a really good job of that last night.
You know, they were a team that, and I totally agree with you, were really in need of a shakeup, any kind of shakeup, just to change whatever's going on in the room, just to change the feeling. Just, you know, I love the way you put it, you know, just they were kind of banging their heads against the wall. You almost needed it. It almost didn't matter what the shakeup was going to be. They just needed something. And even if it was shipping Daniel Tice out of town. Listen, you know, Tice developed into a nice little player for them and all that. But even if it was just trading Daniel Tice, putting Robert Williams in the starting lineup, it's a shakeup. It's something different. They reached that point where they desperately needed that.
Yeah, and Robert Williams was great.
Oh, boy, was he great last night.
And one of the biggest elements of his game that I feel like is underrated is he's a very good passer. And it's not just assist. He's a very good offensive shot creation conduit. You know, he's a guy that will sort of maybe make the hockey assist. He'll make the pass that sets up the pass that sets up the shot. And they need more of that because they're not great at ball movement, and their two best players are not great at ball movement. Even though their passes are up and maybe their assist numbers are up, I feel like some of their assists are either in transition, which are good, but those are easier assists, or they're the old, you know, Rajon Rondo assists that Rondo used to get with Ray Allen. He would kick it to Ray Allen in the corner. Allen would up fake. Then he'd like dribble between his legs three times and hit a 20-foot jumper, and they'd say, oh, assist Rondo. You know, it's one of those things. So I think he's a very good conduit in that way. And the other thing when I look at with Williams, McCarthy, is I like him. They said they made the moves they made with Tice to free up more space for him, you know, and avoid the luxury tax. But then why, and maybe B-Rob can jump in on this, then why Andre Drummond?
Yeah.
Because I feel like Andre Drummond comes in and takes minutes away from Williams. I also feel like Drummond duplicates a lot of the things that Tristan Thompson can do, except for Drummond does them much better. I mean, Drummond's an elite rebounder, but Thompson's a very good rebounder. So I guess I just feel like they had a logjam at center. They said they wanted to clear space for Robert Williams, but now you're going to bring in Drummond? I don't get it.
What do you make of this, B-Rob?
I'm with Chris on this. It is it's an interesting situation for the Celtics. They clearly are going hard for him right now from everything I'm hearing. And the question is, I think what you're going to see is he's not going to be taking any of Rob Williams' minutes if he comes here. It's Tristan Thompson. Mm-hmm. It's like, we need the depth. You guys do a lot of the same things. Whoever plays better, that's who's going to play. So if Drummond thinks, hey, you know, the opportunity is here if you can outplay Tristan Thompson. Mm-hmm. But if Rob Williams looks like he did last night, then you got to pencil him in for 20 to 25 minutes per game no matter what, I feel like.
Well, and I want him penciled in for 25 minutes a game because, let's be honest, you know, they're not a championship quality team this year. I want to see what you have with this kid. I want to see what the future is with Robert Williams. I almost feel like that's become one of the most important developments and important storylines for the Celtics this year. Do you have something here? I mean, because let me tell you, the way he played last night, and it's not, I don't feel like last night is an aberration or a fluke. I mean, he has played really well for them this year. Do you have a big time hit late in the first round? Like, is he going to be a, you know, kind of a core player for you moving forward?
I mean, did you get your Clint Capella?
Right.
I mean, that's really the question, you know, and I think he's a better passer than Capella. But yeah, that would be huge for them, whether he stays long term or he ends up being a trade piece, because that's what they were sort of lacking when they were trying to make these trades. It's like you can throw, you know, I mean, for me, like, and I'm not knocking the guy, and I like the pick when they made it. But like Romeo Langford, you'll appreciate this, McCarthy. He is like the Robinson Chaco of the Celtics. You know, Robinson Chaco was a Red Sox pitcher. Peter Gammons named him the Dominican Mystery Man. Mm-hmm. Romeo Langford is the Indiana Mystery Man. Like, you know, he barely played last year.
Is he a real person?
Brad's like super high on him. You know, he can't play because he had the wrist surgery and COVID and whatever. And they like him and they keep like pumping him up. But it's like we haven't seen the guy on the floor. So they don't have a lot of young, attractive assets. And at the very least, Robert Williams could become that, and he could become a lot more.
So, you know, B-Rob, what is the future here with Robert Williams? I mean, at what point do we start talking about him being a big part of the Celtics' future? Where do you kind of see this heading?
I mean, I think he's developing into that right now. And the question is, can he be counted on defensively to be a starting center in this league? Because he's put up a lot of these great numbers all year long, but that was his first start last night.
Yep.
He's only started a handful of times in his career. So it's a much tougher test for him defensively when you're going up against the Giannis's and the Brook Lopez's of the world. But at the same time, he, I think, adds so much offensive upside, to Chris's point, for that starting five, from the passing and from just the rim-running ability, that it might be a situation where that out kind of outweighs any defensive liabilities that he's bringing to the table.
But does he have, and you guys need to, you know, correct me if I'm wrong on
sure.
this. I mean, I thought he was outstanding defensively last night.
I mean, he was.
I think he's got some raw ability there. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's a complete nothing on the defensive end.
No, he's a good individual defender, but I think what B-Rob's referring to is like
in the team
concept of switches, rotations, help, he will check out sometimes mentally. You know, he will get lost mentally, and it becomes an issue for them. Individually, like one-on-one as a defender and a rim protector, he's great. But in the team concept of this is what we're doing if they run this action, he's not always reliable on that.
But hasn't he improved his, you know, hasn't he shown more reliability, you know, as he's grown and as he's matured? I mean, because that was the knock on him coming out of college, right? The maturity, you know, he's got all this talent, but he's got injury concerns too. And then, listen, I mean, you know, that hasn't been alleviated, but I feel like he's, there were times when I looked at Robert Williams, and I'm like, that guy's completely lost and he has no idea where he is or what the hell he's doing. I haven't had as many of those moments this year.
No.
I feel like he's learning and I feel like he's growing. And if he's improving that element of his game, then you see his raw ability get to shine.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, the only way to sort of have him make that improvement is to get the reps and to be out there at this point. And I just, you know, look, I'm going to take a little bit of a victory lap here before we go to the break based on what B-Rob was saying. So now Drummond comes in and it basically means that, you know, Tristan Thompson becomes obsolete. And I said this in the offseason when they signed Teague and Thompson. I was like, I don't like these signings. These guys aren't what you think. They're just names. So Teague now is gone. He went to Orlando and they just released him. And now you're telling me you're going to bring in Drummond at the expense of Thompson, who you signed to this mid-level deal that hard capped you. You know, I have to say, like, I was right about that. Those signings have not worked. Not that those guys were terrible. They weren't terrible, but they weren't giving the Celtics and aren't giving the Celtics what they need. And if that's the case, you ultimately shouldn't have signed them in the first place.
All right, I'm going to write that down here just so I remember. Chris was right.
Thank you.
617-779-0985. It's the Sports Hub Celtics Show. We got one segment to go. We'll make sure to get to your calls as we lead you up to Bruins and Sabres pregame starting at 12:30. It's Gasper and Murray. Matt McCarthy in for Murray today.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Jaylen Brown and home of the Boston Celtics basketball. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.